Sky's coverage over the fatal shooting of two police officers in rural Victoria continues. Media have reported the alleged shooter, self-identified as a very active sovereign citizen. A number of experts point to a growing trend in pseudo-law, conspiracy theory, and the sovereign citizen movement, a marginal ideology that rejects Australia's laws and has at times been linked with violence. So, how do active sovereign citizens claim they are immune from Australia's laws? I spoke with Dr. Harry Hobbs, Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales.
So, pseudo-law adherents in Australia claim not to have to follow the laws of the land in a number of different ways. They may say that some higher law means that laws passed by Parliament or decisions handed down by judges don't apply to them. Often they say things like the Magna Carta means they don't need to do X, Y, or Z, like pay their mortgage or wear a mask or get a vaccine. That's not true, and no court has ever agreed with them, but they make that argument. They may also say that if they don't individually consent to the laws passed by Parliament, those laws don't apply. Again, that's not true, and no court has ever found that it's correct, but they make that argument. Sometimes, and this one's a bit strange, they may say that the law actually applies to a different person called a straw man. So they say that when you're born as an individual sovereign who is free and cannot have any laws imposed upon them, but that government creates a straw person when they issue a birth certificate. So actually, any laws apply to that person written on the birth certificate, which is a straw person or a corporate entity, and not the living, natural, free person who walks around. It is very strange. No court, again, has ever accepted it, but it's another thing they might argue.
So there seems to be quite a lot of, you know, specific language use or beliefs associated with this increasing movement. Is that... That's right.
Yeah. So it's quite a developed legal theory that underlies the arguments that they make. Again, no court anywhere in the world has ever accepted them, but that doesn't mean that they can't argue them.
And can you please provide any insight in regards to prospective overlap with micronations or the concept of micronations?
Yeah. So micronations are where people who purport to secede and create their own country. So again, they might say, look, the Magna Carta allows me to do this, or I don't necessarily agree with the laws of Australia, and so I'm going to create my own community, my own country, and I'm going to call it the Principality of Hutt River, for example, in Western Australia. So in the 1970s onwards in Australia, there was a bit of a micronations boom where a whole bunch of people started doing these things. They didn't necessarily like the drift towards republicanism that people might have seen. They didn't like the way that laws were interacted with them or affected them, and so they decided to create their own country. Again, none of this is legal, but there's no law against calling yourself a prince and claiming to be the king of a different country as long as you continue to pay your taxes and follow the road rules. Now, sovereign citizens and pseudo-law adherents, I think, or the contemporary manifestation of them, are a little bit different. They seem to be less kind of communitarian or orientated or less sort of state orientated. They're not really that interested in creating their own country. They seem to be more interested in just avoiding the laws of the land themselves and as individuals, I suppose.
And there's been growing concerns around the movement, with some identifying 2020, you know, COVID's primary year, as a significant upturn. What impact is this major increase or this increase having on court systems?
Yeah, so as I noted, there have always been people who have strange legal beliefs and, you know, claim the laws don't apply to them. But COVID really saw a huge acceleration in the number of people making these sorts of arguments. And that has flowed through into a whole range of impacts on any state authority that interacts with the regular public. So courts are one. We saw a huge uptick in the number of people appearing in court saying that the laws don't apply to them. And because of the way they behave, which is often very confrontational and assertive and aggressive, it can really impact the administration of justice in lots of strange ways. So if a matter might ordinarily take 20 minutes, it could take 4 hours. They'll appeal everything. Some judges have even told me that they've appealed orders that were actually made in their favour. So they're just very kind of pathologically assertive and confrontational and aggressive, I suppose.
And, you know, very recently we've seen the alleged shooter in an incident that's seen two police officers shot dead in rural Victoria. We've seen that alleged shooter linked with the sovereign citizen movement. What impact is the movement also having on consequence or change in how laws are applied, enforced, and interpreted by courts and other institutions?
So I want to be clear, the movement is having no impact on how laws are interpreted. The movement has never succeeded in having any of its arguments accepted by a court, but certainly in terms of the enforcement of laws, it's more troubling or more difficult, right? So if someone doesn't pay rates, the council need to implement proceedings in court to force that to happen.
I understand that in July 2018, Victoria passed the Corrections Amendment Parole Bill, which amended the Corrections Act of 1986 to prevent convicted police killers from being released on parole. Do you believe that these sovereign citizens are aware of this?
I don't know whether every person who subscribes to these beliefs is aware of the change in law, but I would say that generally speaking, what pseudo-law adherents in Australia believe is that they possess a true and uncorrupted version of the law, and the state is tyrannical and corrupt, and it doesn't look after people's individual interests.
Dr. Harry Hobbs, Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales, speaking with me.